Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, December 18th, 2012, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts Lavendar and Anastasia. With the sun at galactic degree in Sagittarius, we are witnessing the beginning of a new era of reason and peace, and we are so glad to have each and every one of you joining us this evening. And this week, we passed the 250,000 mark for total listens to our show, so we'd like to say thank you to all of our listeners for helping us grow. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing emails from our listeners. And with Christmas 1 week away, we'll hear a few songs from my Christmas CD, which you can listen to or download as our free gift by going to, after the show, not during the show, go to starseedhotline.com/holiday gift. After the Starseed News, we're pleased to introduce our special guest this evening, Barbara Evans, who is an author, international speaker, Reiki master, a crystal resonance therapist, and shiatsu practitioner. She's the founder of the Eden Method, which she'll be talking about tonight, and an expert in the healing powers of positive energy. Her visit with us is so timely, with the December 1st point only 3 days away, as she talks about the energies needed to co-create a new earth. Her book is entitled Messages of Universal Wisdom, and beautifully coded empowerment cards can be found on her website at crystalwingshealingart.com. We also want to let you know that since Christmas and New Year's fall on Tuesdays this year, we won't be doing the show on those nights. So we're going to have 2 weeks off for the holidays, and then we will be back again on the 8th of January. We would like to thank Fiona and Chris for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with questions or comments. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. We invite you to click follow on our Blog Talk show page so you'll know about our upcoming shows, and it also helps to promote our work and our guests. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge, and the entire site has been coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.com. And we'd like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get the information in time. So now I would like to welcome my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Welcome, ladies.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi,
nice
Anastasia.
Nice to be with you. Hello. Is Lavendar there?
Yes, she is. I think she was waiting for you to talk. So you're both waiting for each other to talk.
It always takes me a minute to get my switches in order here.
Yeah, well, Lavendar.
I'm here, and I'm anxious to hear.
Hello.
have to tell us, because I know there's a lot of things happening in the sky. I noticed where they crashed a couple of things on the moon. Do you have a report about that?
Actually, I don't, but I just recently heard about that. That's all interesting stuff, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try to find it during the program, and maybe toward the end of the show I can contribute that. I just now caught that and didn't get all that pulled together for tonight's show. But you're right. There is a tremendous amount of stuff happening, and since we had such an interesting guest tonight, I decided to cut the news just a little bit short because we just don't have time to cover everything. But you're right about that, Lavendar. There's just a ton of stuff going on in the air and on the ground. And I want to thank all of our Starseed listeners that were so kind and good to send to me some of their amazing experiences. I got photographs of orbs. I got great questions. I got just incredible things going on out there from all of you. I want to thank each one of you that sent to me last week your experiences, your photographs, sharing your personal incidents going on. I want to thank all of you. Don't have time tonight to cover all that, but just know that it's appreciated. I'm noting it, and I may be mentioning that on shows that are upcoming when we have a little more time. So thank you, all of you. So I want to start tonight's news segment by just reporting that NASA's long-lived Voyager 1 spacecraft is heading out of the solar system now, and it has reached the magnetic highway that leads to interstellar space. Now, this is a pretty big deal. Scientists declared this on Monday. Now, this probe was launched 35 years ago, which is probably longer than some of our starseed have been living, but they wanted to study the outer planets, and it's now about 11 billion miles from Earth. And it is the first man-made project or object to ever leave the solar system. Now, Voyager 1 had a sister spacecraft, and it was called Voyager 2. And they were only launched 16 days apart in 1977. This is when the United States was kind of at the peak of its space exploration. And they took the first flybys of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. And Voyager 2 right now is still traveling also out of the solar system. It's on a different trajectory, and it's only about 9 billion miles from Earth, but it has not yet reached the magnetic highway. So we're going further and further into space with our explorations. And as an aside, I thought this was pretty important. The NASA probe has revealed, can you believe it, that there is organic material and ice on Mercury. On Mercury now, we're not talking about Venus here. They have said that despite Mercury's searing daytime temperatures, it gets really hot on that planet because it's the planet that's closest to the sun. They say that it has ice and frozen organic material inside its permanently shadowed craters along its north pole. Now, this is a pretty significant finding, but I need to tell you that this is, oh, by the way, they did say that these organic materials are similar, interestingly enough, to tar and coal. Well, now we know tar and coal comes from organic matter, so that's just really fascinating. They didn't expect to find that, and the way they did find it has been through computer models, I have to tell you. This is not, of course, by direct contact, but they feel pretty confident that their computer model is accurate, and they've been piecing this together for over a year, and so based on lab experiments and deduction, this is what they're finding. And they're pretty good at it, so I think it's probably likely that they're correct. And that's just really interesting. You know, we're finding out how much life and potential there is in the cosmos, and our space exploration's being accelerated. And, you know, they're just giving us bits and pieces of what they're really finding. But, wow, is it expanding exponentially? It's just amazing. It's really hard to keep up with all of it. And anyway, we had a strong earthquake. I'm sure some of you out there have felt this, that occurred off the coast of California and Mexico on Friday morning. Now, this was a 6.3 earthquake, and it struck at about 5:30 in the morning, Eastern time. And minutes later, there was a powerful aftershock. It was a 4.7 that occurred just north of the original quake. It was according to the USGS. And the original quake hit 162 miles south-southwest of Avalon, California, and the aftershock occurred 95 miles south-southwest of Avalon. So I'm sure some of our California listeners have felt that. That was a pretty good-sized quake. Now, originally, and I don't understand why they didn't get this straight, but originally it was reported that it was a 6.4 and a 6.1 earthquake, two separate earthquakes. They have since modified that and said it was a 6.3 and a 4.7, so I don't know. They didn't issue a tsunami warning with that because this was an earthquake that was centered out into the Pacific Ocean, which is significant because of all the activity going along the Ring of Fire and underneath the ocean itself. So that is something to be mindful of. And speaking of California and earthquakes, I want to tell you that I recently found out that from Northern California, people from the disaster planners from Siskiyou County have been working on a plans in the event that Mount Shasta should erupt. They say that there is a 1 in 3 or 4 chance that Mount Shasta could erupt in the Northern Californians' lifetimes. Now, having been from there, I can tell you that in 1978, in the summer, there were 2,000 small earthquakes a month, repeatedly, month after month, and that was the time when the USGS and the universities began to send people up to the mountain to establish baselines of activity. Up until that time, when I was young, it was considered to be a strictly dormant volcano, dead, actually. They've since modified that, and the state is now, or that northern part of the state, the northern counties, are now preparing disaster plans and so on for that. The USGS considers that Mount Shasta, along with Mount Lassen, is a very high-threat volcano. They say that it last probably erupted in 1786, and Lassen Peak last erupted in 1915. Now, there's also a Medicine Lake volcano in that area. It's in southern Siskiyou County, which I used to go out there, you know, on excursions and things. That exists between the towns of McLeod and Burney. They say it also has the potential to erupt, and all of those are considered to be high-threat volcanoes. So that's interesting considering, just wanted to pass that along. I was surprised to find that with all the earthquake and volcanic activity happening around the planet, science has its eye on Mount Shasta. Well, and you know, I told you a story last week about these squid that beached themselves by the multiple quantities, very strange and bizarre. And relative to that, scientists have now discovered that animals can predict earthquakes. And they think that animals sense chemical changes in groundwater that occurs when an earthquake is about to strike. And they say that this bizarre animal behavior is probably from the animals, sort of what we would consider extrasensory or hypersensitive perceptions of subtle changes in the environment that we humans are not privy to. Not only, they really have been studying a certain kind of a toad that had behaved very oddly before an earthquake, a large earthquake in 2009, and they've just published these studies. And it's not just the toads that have been acting up, but in previous earthquakes, one before a quake in San Diego, residents discovered that the squid then had washed up on the beaches. And these are deep sea squid. Usually they find these creatures at depths between 200 and 600 meters down in the ocean.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And also in 1992, now this is some years back, mind you, but nevertheless, over a period of time, science has been taking these assessments. And prior to an earthquake in the Mojave Desert, they found that ants had left their nests in droves. And so they're called desert harvester ants, and they were acting very bizarre just before that quake. And also in China, before a large earthquake, snakes came out of their hibernation holes in the middle of the winter when they were supposed to be sleeping just prior to a large quake. So now certain scientists are setting their eyes on animal behavior. And, you know, any of you that live in earthquake zones will note that maybe your cats or dogs act a little bizarre before a small shaker, and this is just an example of it. It's not just house pets. All wild animals seem to be picking up on the frequencies of big shaking movements before they happen. Okay, well
think how close to nature they live. I mean, they're totally in tune with nature
and
have no concept of 3D logic.
Exactly.
They're just completely, they're one with nature, so of course they're going to know.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if we notice that the animals are behaving a little strangely, it's not just our imagination. There's something going on with the frequency of the planet in some way, shape, or form. And so we need to just sort of heighten our awareness and take an example from nature. Besides that, in doing so, we'll be more connected to Gaia, and that's a very good thing. And speaking of Mother Earth and our connection to it, there's a wonderful study out. It was published at the end of November. Scientists have discovered that Native Americans and Northern Europeans are more closely related than anybody had ever thought. Now, just let that sink in for a second. They have used genetic analysis, and in doing so, the scientists have discovered that Northern European populations, including British, Scandinavians, French, and even some Eastern Europeans, descend from a mixture of two very different ancestral populations. But one of these populations is related to Native Americans. Now, this is a discovery that helps fill in the gaps in scientific understanding of both Native American and Northern European ancestry. Now, you know, for a long, long time, scientists have felt that Native Americans were descended from Siberians who migrated across the Siberian Strait. But now they're changing their tune because genetics, the study of DNA, has revealed in their experimentations with DNA diversity, has found that at least one of the Native American populations was connected to the first farming population of Europe. And that would be the Sardinians and the people of the Basque country. Isn't that something? So
you know
that's
what I thought
really
when you said that? I'm sorry for interrupting, but
no.
Northern European, the Nordic, the Pleiadian, and Native Americans, especially Cherokee, are about the purest Pleiadians as far as DNA goes.
Well, now there you go.
It's like boom, there you go.
Isn't that? See, there you go. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for mentioning that. That is very relevant. Good.
Yeah, the Pleiadian connection, the missing link.
Right. So I just find it so fascinating, you all, that science is just delivering all of this information that supports what we know spiritually, and we have such a potential to do so many good things with the planet, and yet, on the other hand, we see sort of the destructive side, the shadow side of science working opposite of that. It's just a fascinating time to live in. It just blows me away, really. It's just an incredible time. And speaking of the shadow side of science, I just want to briefly insert here that I have been reading that the U.S. military now has plans in place to microchip troops. That is what they want to do to keep track of soldiers on the battlefield. And, of course, that is likely to be a social experimentation for microchipping of the population on down the road, perhaps not too far. And also, there's a company now that claims to have created a Harry Potter-style invisibility cloak. Now, they claim to do this, and there's been a lot of talk out there about it. They showed photographs of this on the Internet, various sites, and they say that the photos themselves are simulations, and they claim that the simulations, the photographs, are actually very close to what they really can do, but they won't show the product for security reasons. But anyway, this Canadian company, it's called HyperStealth, and it claims that it's developed a wearable cloak that uses what they call quantum stealth technology to provide complete invisibility across the visible, infrared, and ultraviolet spectrum by bending light around objects. And you know, they do that with aircraft.
It's like we know you can do that, but we know you can do that, but why? You're never going to find a picture of an invisibility cloak because you can't see it.
Exactly.
Exactly. I got one in my closet, but you can't see it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's hysterical. They say that that if you walk in the room, and they're particularly using this for military application. Okay, so once again, you know, government gets first dibs. But they said if a soldier walked in wearing a quantum stealth suit, you wouldn't see him at all. He'd just be completely invisible. So that's what they're working on, and they say that it even removes 95% of your shadow. So I don't want this to make anybody paranoid about some invisible person watching them, but this is the kind of technology that they're not only working on, but they have actually claimed to have developed it, and wouldn't surprise me one bit. And on the local or the national front, I just want to say that the TSA now is planning on to tighten their grip on internal travel. It won't just be aircraft or you know, airline flights or casual intermittent screening at train stations and bus stations. They really have plans in place to conduct checks on a nationwide basis for roads and certainly all bus stops, subways, and trains. What they want to do is solidify and spread their fledgling presence all across the country. And it's called the TSA Highway Base Program, the Baseline Assessment for Security Enhancement. And they want to establish an improvement to what they see as security gaps and implement countermeasures to rectify that. So look for that, because I do think that airport-style control of travel within the United States is coming, and it's just a matter of time. They're working on that now. All right, now I wanted to tell you about what is happening on the coast of California as well as the state of Washington. 50 billion pounds of Japanese debris from the tsunami and earthquake of last year is now beginning to reach the West Coast beaches. Some are concerned, naturally. I would be amazed if they wouldn't be concerned that it may contain radioactivity, and they say it is a monstrous debris field the size of California. Recently, just last week in Seattle, they found large black, huge black floats that came in the northwestern tip of Washington. Was just the first pieces of debris that came from the tsunami in Japan. They say that that made it first because these large floats move along the ocean currents at about 20 miles an hour, when average sludge and things move along at 5 miles an hour. So they say that that's the harbinger of the huge debris field that is coming. And they really don't know what to do with it. A debris field the size of California, just think about that for a minute. And while it's still in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's coming our way. It's also landed in Hawaii. Some of the nicest beaches on the main island have started to get this debris already. So it's really a problem environmentally as we move along. And the final story for tonight, just a brief highlight of that, is that scientists are now working on the idea that the universe could be a computer simulation, and they're testing that mathematically. And so the question remains, if this is a computer simulation, who's running the computer?
Right.
So, and the Geminid meteor shower is now over, but keep your eyes to the sky for fireballs, because I didn't cover that tonight, but there's still a lot raining down and a lot of interesting stuff in the sky. And when we come back on the other side with our program at the beginning of the year, we'll talk some more about that and what Lavendar mentioned with hits on the moon and things like that.
Okay.
So that'll do it for tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Anastasia. And
my pleasure.
I'm going to keep my eye on that stuff, and I'm sorry. I love
watch
that
out for invisible people.
Computer simulation. Yeah, well, you know, it's a fine line between science and science fiction, and
yeah.
It's a matter of your perspective, I think.
That's right. Well,
but,
you know, it's just
you.
Good to know what they're into and what they're doing.
Yeah, and you know what I say, as far as that invisibility thing.
Yeah.
I would imagine that house pets would be able to know.
Oh, man.
They might be visibly,
they do know.
To the eye, but I'm telling you, my dog would know somebody's
absolutely.
In the house.
Absolutely. When I lived in California, both in Mount Shasta and in Santa Barbara and Palm Desert, my animals always knew when there was going to be a tremor. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
They
so,
know.
Yeah.
They're in tune, just as you said.
They sure are. They sure are.
Well, I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Yes, yes. And Lavendar, I would like you to come on, and Anastasia, we'll be talking to you again at the end of the show. We're going to have a few little surprises. So, Lavendar, would you please introduce our guest?
I thought you were going to play a song.
Well, I was, but I think I'm going to wait till later.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm anxious to hear from Barbara.
Okay. Bring her on.
Okay, everyone. This is our special guest this evening, Barbara Evans. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you all.
Well, we're glad to have you. And I think Lavendar is going to lead off for us.
Okay, Barbara. I am so excited to have you to be on our show tonight because I got this beautiful art from Tammy sent me your art, and I just love it. And when I looked at it, I said, oh, my goodness, I'd like to have that done in wallpaper for my new house, my future self. So why don't you just give us a little history of yourself and how you became awake and the journey that you're on?
Well, yes, it is a long story. But so I started my adult life as a teacher of biology living in the UK. As far as I was aware, had no real spiritual connection, was not aware of any spiritual special type gifts that I might have. I was very much into Western science and Western medicine. And then my father developed cancer, which was a very traumatic experience for him, but also for myself. And as I traveled by his side over the 2 years before he left this world, and as I watched what was happening to him and also what was happening to me, because my own health was deteriorating at that time, it made me feel that life really wasn't meant to be this way. And in the last week when he was in hospice and I sat by his side, he was a very, very, very private man and virtually said nothing in the last week of his life. So I would sit and look into his eyes and I saw his tremendous love for me, but also I saw fear and pain. And there was such a feeling that was not the original intention for how we would live our lives and leave our lives from this earth. And it was as if those words triggered an awakening within me. And the first major step was he came to me in a dream to tell me that he was okay. And it was of such a different character to any dream I'd ever had in my life that I knew that this was real. This was him coming to give me a message. So that in itself was life transforming. And then a whole sequence of synchronicities led me into energy healing. And the very first experience of this was a wonderful lady who did shiatsu. She also did flower essences, aromatherapy, there were crystals in the room, and channeled energy through her hands. She was a beautiful healer. And so I experienced all of those things within 1 hour. And it was like I was just so amazed that all of this existed, and up until that point, I had no idea that there was this other side to life. And so gradually, as I saw her every 2 weeks for several months, my own health increased tremendously, and I became incredibly inspired and started buying books and oils and essences and really absorbing everything, all of the information I could from her in my sessions. And my life changed. So I studied shiatsu myself. I studied Reiki. I found the Course in Miracles and studied that with a beautiful group of people for 2 years. And then opened a small energy healing practice and really felt that I had found my place in the world. And then my mother passed away very, very suddenly. And by this time, my own spiritual self was very strong. And I knew that she was fine. She came to visit me on the night. I only slept 1 hour the night that she passed over. But in that 1 hour, she came to me in a dream. So I knew she was fine, but I was absolutely not fine. And so that sent me on another search, another quest. And 9 months later, I went for a reading, and in the reading, it was suggested that I try drawing. The same week, I had discovered sacred geometry, and so I put the two together. I went home and tried to paint. Actually, I chose a labyrinth first. And as I did that first painting, I could feel the energies flowing through me and into the painting, and knew that it was not only for me, but it was to share with other people, and that it would help me with my journey of awakening, but it would also help other people with their journeys too. And so that actually happened in 1999, and it has led to where I am now.
Well, I think that you've been on a tremendous journey to enlightenment, and it sounds like that you are in a position now to help others. I noticed that you've formed a foundation called the Eden Method. Would you describe what the Eden Method is?
The Eden Method, I consider, is really the art of raising frequency. And it's very much about using the series of paintings that I've been working on since 2003. I was guided to call image keys. And they are image keys because they are actual energetic keys that will unlock what is already inside of us. So I see them as tremendous tools of awakening. And by placing them in a room, it helps to raise the frequency of the room. And as you raise the frequency of the room, that then becomes an invitation for everybody who enters to raise their own frequency and to awaken more of their inner self, their inner divine blueprint. And it's something that you can work in any space. You can even do this with the card deck and create a sacred space around you just with, say, six cards out of the card deck, with you in the middle, and you are in a totally beautiful, energetic, sacred space. And then you can use it to raise your own frequency on a very personal level as well by interacting with those images. And so all of those possibilities are a part of the Eden Method. So right from sort of personal sessions all the way through to having the images in sacred geometry positionings around a room or a building, or, you know, as far spread as you wish to raise the vibration of the place.
For those of you that are listening and you have access to a computer, you might go on her website, www.crystalwingshealingart.com, and take a look at the cards and the different displays of art, because it's just absolutely fascinating. Tell us a little bit more about what you plan on doing in the future. Are you going to be doing lectures and traveling and seminars?
Yes, I do a lot of traveling, a lot of workshops. I also have been attending a fair number of expos. And I live in Michigan right now, but I travel down through the country. We drive whenever possible, and we go down through the country to L.A. and San Diego and to Florida and out to the East Coast and to Denver. So we travel around a lot. With this work and doing workshops. But I feel as if there's a shift coming for me, possibly. I'm very much I'm working on a journal currently which combines some of the image keys with templates of mandalas, which I have drawn. And underneath that, there is a sort of focus and intention of to contemplate while you're coloring and choosing the colors. And I see it as taking people on a journey of awakening. And I'm hoping to get that into healthcare and possibly rehab situations and all sorts of possibilities. And of course, I would love to have some of my work in schools to help support children while they are doing their everyday learning. To have these images around them would be tremendous support, particularly for the more sensitive, energetically sensitive and gifted children that are so prevalent in the world right now.
So have you noticed any crystal children or indigo children that respond to your art?
Oh, yes.
Tell us something about that, if you would.
Well, I had a wonderful experience in Singapore. I was doing workshops in Singapore and private sessions, and somebody asked me to do a private session with their son, who I think was 9. And it was the first time I'd worked with a young child with the images. And so it was like, okay, so how am I going to do this? And I was guided to place all of the images around the perimeter of the room together with placing crystals in between them all. And then when he came in and we, you know, had an introductory chat, and I asked him to pick his 6 favorite. So there were about 20 or so images around the room, and it was just so fascinating because I wanted them in order as well. I wanted it, you know, 1 to 6 of your favorite images. And he just, like, shot around the room. I mean, no hesitation. He knew absolutely which were his favorite images. And then I asked him to pick his 6 favorite crystals. And again, he just, like, went straight to them, brought me the 6 crystals. And then I said, well, which crystal goes with which painting? And he just put them all on. I mean, you know, just absolutely knew which one went with which. And then I did an energy session with him with those images around and under the table. And it was really a pretty phenomenal experience for both of us.
I just wonder if that would help these kids that have ADD.
I think it does. I think it is very helpful to various, as I think of them, these sort of special children with special gifts that don't necessarily fit into the traditional education system. And I think that they very frequently, it's like they recognize the frequencies within the artwork. So that a little girl came into my booth at an expo in Minneapolis a few weeks ago, and I said to her, which is your favorite? And she picked Children of Light, which is the one I would have picked for her. And she turned to her mother and she said, it makes me feel as if I'm all curled up and cozy in a blanket. And so the energies, I think they just feel like home to them. They just know them. And so I think that because of that, it is reassuring, it's protective, it keeps them connected to their gifts, and at the same time, I think it's helping them through that security to fit in a little better with the expectations that are around them in a school situation.
Do you also think that maybe some of these symbols equate to maybe 30 volumes of information at some point is downloaded into people?
I'm sure, yes.
I just had the image of that. I thought, oh, my goodness, it's one way to download some information that can come out later, like a time-release capsule.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like I feel that however long I live, I won't know everything about these images. My understanding of what they are, what they can do, is increasing almost daily, but they're just so much more than my human brain, I think, will ever be able to fully comprehend.
Well, when I was talking to you earlier today, you know, I think it'd be so cool to have some of these images on these skateboards for these kids.
It would. Indeed.
You know, to give them a little protection for their physical bodies as they're, you know, doing the big dangerous jump or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about DNA blueprints. What is it that you can share with us about what you know about the divine blueprints with DNA?
Well, I'd always known that the artwork that I was doing was connected with the DNA, and that there were symbols in there that represented the DNA and the awakening of the DNA. But I didn't really understand how. And for me, a real leap in that understanding came when I read Lee Carroll's book on the 12 layers of DNA. And it seemed to me that what he was writing about or channeling from Kryon within those pages was almost like a description of how this artwork is working, and awakening those other layers that code, in a sense, for our consciousness, I feel. The layers that the scientists can't currently identify, or they call junk. So that is pretty much where I am feeling, and that this artwork that has come through me is very much about helping us to awaken our full potential, step by step, not all in one go, but at a comfortable level most of the time.
So you work with clients that come to you that have maybe feelings of fear or isolation or anxiety, and walk us through how you would handle somebody that came to you, and do you place cards around them, or
mm-hmm.
how do you work with them?
Very much. So I have a sort of longer version and a short version. And I've been doing quite a few of the short version sessions, which take about 20 minutes, and I've found that they are incredibly powerful. And so when somebody comes in, I will ask them, you know, what is their intention? Why have they come? What is it that they are looking for to gain out of this? And so as we talk, they formulate their intention. And then I will use the card deck, and we shuffle the cards, and they pick six cards initially. And those six cards are to be placed in a circle around the chair in which they're sitting. And we will study the cards, even just the key words, because each of the cards has a key word on it, which is the gift. It is the essence of the gift of the image. And even just looking at those keywords that are in this six card around the chair, it usually really begins to answer the intention. It gives a tremendous amount of information. So they are then in this unique, energetic, sacred space created in response to their intention. And then I have them pick a seventh card, which is to be held in their hands. And they will often read the card as well, so that they have there's a picture card and a word card, and they might hold one in each hand, read the words, hold the other one to their heart. And then I will select one of my crystal bowls and will play the crystal bowl all around them while they're sitting in this energetic sacred space. And it's phenomenally powerful and very beautiful, and everybody loves it, and really helps them to shift from the place that they were to the place that they want to be.
Have you ever experienced a client coming in and experiencing these images, and then all of a sudden they start speaking in tongues? Have you had that happen?
I have, but it was someone that had done it before. So I don't know if that counts.
Well, it just I don't know, it just occurred to me that it might unlock another language that a person
right.
might just trip into.
It certainly unlocks people and their speaking. So people who channel and like to give messages to people, there have been occasions where it's like the switch is switched on and they are giving messages to everybody in the room, and it is quite interesting what happens.
I just saw it, that's, like I said, one card could represent 30 volumes of material.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, I have to tell you now.
The person just has to open their mouth and say it.
Yes.
I can just see that. Oh, goodness. I want to relate to you, to the audience again, your website. It's www.crystalwingshealingart.com. And on your website, tell us more about what you have to offer that they can purchase from you.
Well, I think we have a beautiful selection available for purchase. There are 26 image keys currently, and they are available as a really, really beautifully high-quality print, and we do them in different sizes. So the smaller size are either 5x7, and that's the actual colored part. So then there's the border, and then they're on a board. So they are bigger, but that's like the size of the actual image. And they go up to like 19x25. So there's minis and midis and large paper prints, which are all available on the website. We also do canvas prints, but those are done to order. So those have to be done through connecting very personally with us. And there are books. My book, Messages of Universal Wisdom, and the card deck, which is called the Messages of Universal Wisdom Empowerment Cards. There are also greeting cards. And we do have a special offer for all of the listeners, and that anyone who would like to purchase something, you will get a 10% off any order if you put in the coupon code RADIO in uppercase, RADIO. And that will give you 10% on top of the regular holiday deals, which we are doing, which are free shipping and free greeting cards with any order over $20.
So you make greeting cards. That's pretty exciting. You can send a greeting card to someone.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe just empower their life.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I was thinking about these images being in doctor's offices, in psychiatry
yes.
offices.
Yes.
This is where, you know, starseed seem to end up in the, you know, their parents drag them there or some, you know, something happens where they become so strange that they have to go to a doctor.
Right, and that's a very high priority for me for 2013 is to start getting these into those places.
Well, I can see why, because it's non-invasive, and the thing about the doctors now is they would just look at it and say, oh, isn't that pretty? I'll hang that, but they have no idea what it does.
Right, and that's fine.
That makes me smile.
I have to say how much I love that. It's just beautiful subversiveness, and that's just exactly where this needs to be. A lot of people will be able to get up and leave and not be sick anymore, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm looking
at just I love where you're taking this. It's and I can see, you know, murals on walls,
mm-hmm.
and in restaurants and just everywhere. This could just take off. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, do you have other product like shirts or curtains or wallpaper or, you know, mugs or anything else? Have you branched out to do anything with product?
No, we have a great long list of ideas.
Okay.
Which we haven't yet put into operation.
Oh, I think it's coming.
Yeah.
I really feel that it might be coming.
I think so.
Anyway,
too.
Now I'm going to turn the show over to Arielle and Anastasia. We'll talk later, Barbara. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, right along that same line of thought, as Lavendar was saying, that I'm thinking plates or things that where those images and that energy can go into the food.
Yes, and yes,
That's on
yeah.
your list.
Yes, it is. I know. And or even like coasters, so that you can place your plate on a mat or a coaster or your glass on a coaster, and the energy goes in from there. So you don't even have to have it on all of your plates, although that would be really nice.
Yeah.
But yes, to get the energy in the food would be just wonderful.
Well, now to kind of switch the subject, you had been on your website talking about how to co-create in this new era that is starting, and I think it's very relevant since December 21st is just 3 days away, and it is really the end of the Piscean age and the beginning of the Aquarian age. And would you speak a little bit about how we can co-create this new world?
And I feel that the most important thing initially is for us to raise our consciousness, to become more aware, to become more awake, to start to feel that we are one and part of the oneness, feel our connections to nature and the planet. And as more and more people raise their consciousness, leave behind fear and anger and greed and all those other things that are of a low vibration, raise the consciousness so that you are more focused from the heart on divine love and beauty, joy, that abundance will start to come for all people, and that as that raising of consciousness happens, we will automatically be looking for ways of changing the systems in the world that are not functioning very well for us right now. And I think there are so many gifted people, and many, many of the young people, very, very gifted, coming up and through, and I think that those changes will happen as long as we can raise our consciousness and maintain that higher level, so that we are working from the heart in alignment with our mind, but that the love from our heart becomes the focus rather than fear and misuse of power, which I think has been a large part of our experience for a very long time.
Oh, indeed. Well, what about the kind of bridging this concept as you were speaking? It's really about bringing the divine feminine back to balance with masculine.
Right. I feel as if it's very much about reclaiming the feminine, that the universal energies are definitely supporting the return of the divine feminine energy, and that we on the planet need to reclaim that. And very much not just that women need to reclaim the feminine. It's that everybody, whether you're man or woman, need to reclaim those feminine gifts. And for me, those are our intuition, our dreaming, our creativity, our nurturing, our ability to receive from people. So to really reclaim those, and also to heal our masculine side, because the masculine side over the last thousands of years has become wounded, and so it does need healing so that it can then be beautifully intertwined with the feminine energy. And so you have the feminine intuitive dreaming and then the masculine ability to put those dreams into action and manifestation.
Well, it's so right on, because the repression or oppression over thousands of years of the divine feminine energies has really caused this great imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, as you said, it's not just about empowering women and having women take over. It's about the energy of the divine feminine coming back into the individual, male or female.
It's beautifully stated how she talked about also the healing of the masculine. That was just very profound and well said. And that you recognize that the masculine needs healing is beautiful. So you really have you're really cued in there on what's needed.
Thank you.
Incidentally, Ariel, we're getting a lot of feedback on the line. Are you getting any?
Yes, I'm trying to find it, and I can't.
Incidentally,
there's an echo that seems to be coming and going. Thank God it's not on your microphone, Barbara.
Oh, that's good.
And there is a those that are listening to it online are reporting that it's garbled live via the internet. So just wanted to let you know if you can find anything on the switchboard there that might be doing that.
Well, if
just wanted to let you know.
Let's see. I noticed it first on Lavendar's mic. So Lavendar, if you could please hang up and call back in. And that could be that could be a line that you're on, and I hope that will fix it. It seems to be getting better.
Would you like me to do the same?
Yeah, please. And Barbara, you and I will just kind of continue here because,
okay.
As I said, that echo is not happening on your line, but. Lavendar, would you please hang up and call back in?
Has she gone already?
No. She's. I think it's hung up on there. I swear, it seems like Mercury has been direct since the end of November, but it seems like there's still some kind of energies that are. Acting like Mercury retrograde. Maybe it's the sun flares or the other stuff from the cosmos, but it is affecting our sound tonight.
Right. And there's no doubt that the energies are very intense right now.
Oh, they definitely are. And it's coming, it's not just from one source, it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you would like to talk about while I'm trying to sort out this audio issue here?
Well, I could choose a card for the listeners. Oh,
that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
And it's very interesting because I have separated the cards into the picture cards and the word cards. And the picture cards are sitting on my table face up, and the top one is healing. And I have just shuffled the cards and picked a card to read to the listeners, and it is healing. So
it came up again.
Yes. So this card was the very first image key, and it really opened tremendous doors for me. I was with intention in the painting of this one. My intention was to create a piece of artwork for healing the waters of the planet. And it was not to be just a pretty picture to hang on the wall. It was to make a significant contribution to the healing of our planet. And while I was painting it, I, of course, realized that because we have so much water within us that it's not just for healing the waters of the planet, but it's for healing us as well. And many of the crystals that were used in its creation, almost all of the crystals, are crystals for the water element, for the emotional body, and its keyword is healing. So as I read the card, message to all of the listeners, it's very much the picture, the image, healing the waters of the earth is speaking to you. And it says, I hold vibrations of pure love and radiate them to you and to the waters of the earth. My purpose is to open the door to love. I invite you to gently open your heart and allow these vibrations to initiate healing. The energy of healing is pure love, and the gateway to healing is your heart. Healing aligns and connects you with your true self, awakening and activating your divine blueprint. Open your heart to love and feel its beauty spread throughout your being. You are loved more than you can ever imagine.
Wow, that gave me chills. And that goes out to all of our listeners.
Absolutely. And I've come to realize that as I read these messages on the radio, that there is no doubt that the energy of the image is coming through my voice. And so you're not just listening to something, you are actually truly receiving those healing vibrations.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I could see that and feel that and see that clairvoyantly. And I want to say that these beautiful, I've been looking at your art, and all the listeners that are live that can hear this, please do go to crystalwingshealingart.com. It's just great, beautiful, beautiful artwork. And clairvoyantly, this is very similar to things that I see through my clairvoyant vision. And being symbolic, they are so powerful because there are so many things contained in a symbol. This is the language of the unconscious, the language of the superconscious, the language of spirit, and this is nonlinear. So to our higher selves and on a soul level, a vibrational level, we're getting whole downloads of information through symbols, and your symbols are particularly beautiful. I really think that image 13 is so beautiful, cosmic integration. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, I can. It was painted after I had been on Hawaii for a retreat, and so While I was there, I had actually photographed a beautiful pink hibiscus with no idea that it was to be the focal point of the next image key. But this number 13 is very much about the integration of masculine and feminine energy. And so there is a hexagon with six-pointed star inside, which is representing the divine masculine. And then intertwined with that is a pentagon with the five-petaled hibiscus in it, which represents the divine feminine. And then this, from the center of the flower, is coming up the... I have forgotten the words for the center of the flower. So the feminine and masculine parts of the flower are coming up, rising from the center. And above that, you have what I've been guided to call the unity symbol, which is based on the pattern of 12 circles around the outside and a 13th circle in the center. And as I was painting that, I knew that these two colors from the star and the hibiscus needed to go into the unity symbol. And it was like I was asking, you know, how is this, are these two colors to be combined within this part of the image? And so the guidance came, and I followed the curves, and I did the painting, and then I sort of put it on the fireplace as I walked back in the room to sit and look at the image, and went, oh my gosh, it's a yin-yang symbol.
Wow.
And while I was painting it, I had no idea that that's what I was
really
guided
to
create.
And of course, to the person that's looking at it, it's very clearly a yin-yang. And I just,
right.
the turquoise and the pink are just beautiful shades. Can I ask if you've done these in watercolor or acrylic?
They are a mixture. I started
okay.
off using just watercolor, except for the gold and silver.
Uh-huh.
But this one, the flower was actually done in acrylic, and I think this was more or less my first introduction to acrylics when I did this one.
Wow, it's just exquisite. It really is. They're all beautiful.
I know. It's like I can't choose my favorite because it's like saying which child is your favorite.
Well, exactly, absolutely. And I want to tell the listeners about, have you tell us about Cosmic Sunrise, which is, you know, I love these beautiful shades of pastels and the vibrancy of them. Gorgeous. So tell us a little bit. Do you remember Cosmic Sunrise? That's number 18.
Oh,
I'm sure you do.
Yes. Cosmic Sunrise is is the one that I have in my family room. Let's put it that way. And we've chosen the keyword of abundance for this one. And the reason that its keyword is abundance is that when it was being painted, I was working with Lord Kutumi and his golden thread of abundance. And you will see from the very center at the top, there is a little golden thread that winds down. And you can imagine that thread then going behind the center of geometry and coming out the center at the bottom as well. And it's, this one is all about, the central part is all about the divine feminine energies expanding through all dimensions and being completely supported by the divine masculine. And so the inner center is all divine feminine, and then the rainbow, like flower around it, is the divine, represents the divine masculine, and then the gold is the divine father, and the silver, the divine mother.
How beautiful.
And then
this, just beautiful.
This image then went to make the cosmic column, which was the painting that was gifted to Lavender.
Oh, that's lovely too. And not to monopolize, I want to give this back to Ariel, but I have to comment, my next favorite is the Joy of Creation with the dolphins.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us just a little bit about that, and then Ariel, I'll let you ask the question. But that's just gorgeous. That's just really fascinating. Just tell us a little bit about that one.
Joy of Creation was created for the second chakra. And really, the whole intention was to bring joy into it. And the energies, there's a lot of Andara energy. I have some beautiful pieces of Indonesian Andara. One is very much an emerald green, and the other is much more of a clear bluish turquoisey color. And they are very prominent in the background colors of that image. And then you have two Vesica Pisces in the center, one representing the divine feminine and one representing the masculine. So the masculine being the blue vertical one, and the feminine is the pearlescent white that is horizontal. And then you have the golden dolphins bringing in that beautiful energy from the higher dimensions. And it's all about joy.
Well, I just love that. I just think that is so incredibly beautiful.
And I was at one workshop, and there was a lady who was expecting a baby. And we were doing a coloring workshop, and she said, I'm being told, and she'd already named her baby, and I forget the name, but the baby was telling her that she wanted Joy of Creation in her nursery.
I'm not surprised.
And she didn't want the small size.
Well, it's just, I just look at it and look at it. It's just absolutely lovely. And the beautiful thing about this art and other symbolic works is that one can be completely absorbed and let your mind go quiet, because you don't process it with your head.
Right.
You know, with your brain, it's processed on a higher level. And it will speak to your heart, because that's, you know, the emotional body response to that. But what I love so much about what you're saying is your clear understanding of the need. Because when we talk about healing on a planetary level or a cosmic level or whatever kind of level, we have to have a balance between the masculine and the feminine.
Yeah.
And how the dolphins here, you've got the fluidity with which you've painted them. They're so fluid, and it's just amazing how you've captured not only their playful nature, but the joy in their movements. You really did a beautiful job with that.
Wow, thank you.
You got the I love art, and I examine it a lot, and you really have a lot of beautiful spirit in this. And I wanted to say one last thing. Ariel, I promised you I was going to be quiet.
No, that's fine.
I just wanted to tell her that when she read the card, you know, your voice does carry the frequency of that message. That is absolutely true. So you are so one with what you have drawn and with the message that you've created. It's so integral to who you are that when you read that, it does come through your voice, and it is like a blessing or healing going out. So I just wanted to affirm that.
Well, thank you.
Ariel, I'll let you talk now.
Okay. Well, thank you. I've been talking with a tech support here, and what I would like to do is take a little musical break, and Barbara, if you could just call right back in.
Yes.
Even though you're not echoing, but we think it might be your line that's causing that. So if you could please call back in, we will take a little musical break. And Lavendar had requested a special Christmas song, which I am going to play for you now. And hopefully when we come back, it's only a short song, this echo problem will be gone. So thank you so much, Barbara, for just quickly calling back in.
Yep.
Thank you.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, with a treetop glisten, and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the
my favorite Christmas songs. We are back, and Barbara, I think we might have fixed the problem here. Is everybody's back with us?
So, the echo's gone. The echo's gone.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Beautiful
well,
song, by the way. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. You're an incredible singer. Beautiful.
Well, thank you, and I would like to remind everybody that you can listen to the whole Christmas CD album if you just go to starseedhotline.com/holiday-gift, and you're welcome to download any songs that you would like to have. So we are back with Barbara Evans talking about her Eden Method, the Image Keys, and your book. Let's talk a little bit more about your book, Messages of Universal Wisdom. How did that come about, and where do these messages come from?
The book came about because as I was taking the image keys out into the world, everybody kept asking me, how did this all begin? And it became clear that I needed to write the book. And so the book was very much guided from the higher dimensions. Absolutely everything within the book was guided. And the messages of universal wisdom are the messages that are held within the image keys. And so the book describes the first 13 of the images. And you've got lots of photographs, large pictures of each of those image keys. There's an affirmation, a poem, a decree, and then a channeling from Archangel Metatron and Mary Magdalene for each of them, in which they speak as if they are the image. And then as you go through the chapters, the chapters tell the story of the creation of each of those images, because each of the images obviously has its own very unique story and intention. And then I also tell my own story of how this came to be within my life and how this all began. And I have come to sit to do this radio show without a copy of my book in front of me, but I will just go get one. And,
okay. Okay. Well, that, now you said there are 30 cards or 26. How many? Oh.
Of the cards?
Of the cards.
In the card deck, there are sort of 36 working cards. There are 18 images, each with two cards. And then there are some instruction cards in the box as well. So the card deck was created after the book. The book was just done on the first 13 of the images. As the 13th image was completed, there was a definite feeling of completion, one level of completion, so that it created a circle of 12 with one in the center. And that was definitely, at that point, the place to stop and to do the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the card deck includes that 13 plus the next five. So the first 13 take you very much on a personal journey. And then the next five are much more planetary in nature. And it starts off with New Earth and then Shift of the Ages and then Carefree Delight, which is all about, yes, we've made it, we've got there. And then Cosmic Sunrise is the last of those, number 18. And then I moved into working with the chakras, and they're called the New Earth Chakra Keys, so they are to help our chakras clear, refine, evolve to the levels that they need to be for the new earth. And so it is taking our chakras to levels at which they have never been before.
Well, perfect tools.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing to work with.
Yes, perfect tools for Starseed to assist them. And, you know, this is really a joyous time. It is a time that we all came here to witness, be part of, and assist in this great shift. And I just love when people that we meet, we encounter, and there's so much of the overlapping, so that when you keep hearing the same messages from unrelated people, that has got to be very uplifting for listeners or people that come across this information to really see that this is real. This is really happening. There is, you know, this is not just a, oh, someday things will be nicer. It's happening now. And
right.
Getting through the shift may be a little turbulent depending on where your frequency is. Right? I mean, people who are still haven't got their vibration up where it needs to be, the shifting may be a little more turbulent, so the cards could be a good tool in accelerating that process, do you think?
I think so, definitely. And even for the people who have raised their frequency more, they're still a very good tool to help you to stay in that place and to experience less of this turbulence. Because
mm-hmm.
I've certainly been feeling a tendency towards turbulence in the last few weeks. So
certainly, and I wonder if in your work with various clients and all of your travels, if you get to perceive patterns of energies. I mean, sometimes, you know, in our work when we're doing charts for people, in one day, everybody that wants a chart will be born in October.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, those are patterns that no one would see, and it gives you an idea that there's some other guiding force going on. So do you see patterns in, like, people that come to you and they're all talking about the same kind of situation?
I do. And I've also had occasions where on a trip, I had one trip to Florida a couple of years ago, and everybody wanted the image New Earth. And it was extreme. Everybody wanted the same image. Whereas often, you know, you look at which image people are attracted to, and it will be completely distributed throughout the whole range of the image keys. But this one particular trip, everybody wanted the same image. And it was really quite fascinating. So then I was expecting to see that everywhere we went. And it's not really happened again. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get people, you know, that sometimes even as an expo, I will find that, and in fact that happened to at the last expo that I was at, the number of people that came into the booth talking about the struggles they were having looking after elderly parents, particularly those that had developed Alzheimer's. And there was, it was a striking pattern with the people that appeared that day.
Wow. There's got to be something, you know, from a higher perspective that is happening. So you channel, you have channeled the information for these images from Metatron and Mary Magdalene. I find that very interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about those experiences?
Well, as the actual images are created, I feel as if there is actually a large team of guides that I'm working with. And I consider that Archangel Metatron is overlighting the whole project, which I call it a project. And so I feel a very powerful connection with him. But for different images, there might be a different guides that come through. Mary Magdalene, I feel I have a very, very strong connection to, and that she is always with and around me while I'm painting. And so those were the two that step forward to do the verbal channelings that go with each of the image keys. And it was a fascinating experience for me because the book was almost completed. I had no idea this was coming. And then all of a sudden, you're going to do a channeling for each image key from each of these beings. And so Archangel Metatron's 13 channelings were done on 11/11 of 2008. And by the time I'd done those 13, I was done for the day. so I did the 13 from Mary Magdalene the next day on the 12th of November in 2008. So it was all very, very intense stuff all coming at one time. And I think they're a beautiful contribution to the book. And it is actually open on my lap right now at Unity Over Water, which is image key number 2. If you would like me to read what Archangel Metatron says about that particular image.
Oh, please do.
So the image, Unity Over Water, and he is speaking as the image. I am the flower of life unlocked, the wisdom revealed. I bring the rainbow rays deep within your heart and physical body, activating and strengthening your physical systems. My greatest joy is to see the stirrings within you as you begin to accelerate your awakening, begin to feel more alive, begin to connect with your joy. My job is to trigger your own sense of knowing. How does it feel within your heart when you sense that something is truth? Many have come before this time to demonstrate the principles of unconditional love, compassion, and peace. Now is the opportunity for all to experience this, fully supported by the energies of the universe. This is a time like no other. We will get it right this time. We will succeed in bringing the energies of heaven into the experience of life on Earth. Release your fears of the past and enjoy the journey.
Wow. I had just chills running up and down the whole time you were reading. That was so perfect.
And then Mary Magdalene, speaking for the same image, she says, "Unity is the perfect combination of divine feminine with divine masculine energies. Their gifts intertwine to reveal the wisdom of creation. The unity symbol holds the geometry of this perfect union. It is nurturing and supportive, active and expanding. Restoring the life force within the waters is vital to survival upon planet Earth, vital to your health and well-being. Restoring the divine feminine energies of creation to their place of perfect union within this physical realm is a priority for successful transformation."
Oh, that is just so profound. Lavendar, oh, you didn't have an opportunity to look at Barbara's chart. I was just wondering if she's got that marking.
No, I haven't had the opportunity to do that.
Well, maybe at some point in the future, I would be interested to know if she's got those marks on the chart for Mary Magdalene. So, if there's anything else that you would like to talk about before we open up the switchboard, we do have callers with some questions or comments. Anything that you would like to add before we open up the switchboard?
I'm good to go to the switchboard.
Okay. We have, let's see, we have a lot of people on the switchboard this evening. And, oops, people that had the question must have fallen off the switchboard somewhere. They're not down, we thought it was down towards the bottom. Okay, so what we are going to, we're going to talk to Tammy right now because she does have a question. And hello, Tammy. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, Barbara. So thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Hi, Tammy. It's good to hear from you.
I just knew when we met that you would just be a perfect match for the Starseed group.
Thank you.
Well, what a great show. And I just want to give a testimonial for who you are. And I had the honor of meeting Barbara. She was in our area recently, and I heard to go to the psychic fair, and I don't go there often, and take some Giza crystals. And I knew I was to go to meet you. And I had been in your booth before, and a friend of mine had gifted me your book. And I was talking to you. I still have not found my book. My book has just disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah, so I will be ordering for my 10% discount, getting a deck of cards and a book. Yeah, it's a good-sized book. It's not one that's easily to disappear or mix in with your
book.
No,
it's heavy.
Yes. And it's a heavy book. But I can't recommend you any more to the audience, any higher. I hold you in the highest esteem for your work. And your beautiful artwork is a representation of just who you are, your energy when I met you, just, whoo.
Wow.
You walk, your art is you, and I'm just so grateful to have you on the planet and the energies you're putting out.
Thank you. I was actually told in an energy session, I think it was even before I started doing the first image key, and this was a wonderful lady who got very clear guidance while she was doing the sessions with me. And in this particular session, Merlin came in, and he explained that the images were like represented the evolution of my soul. And by so doing, not only helped me through this evolutionary process, but that they would also help other people with their own journey of evolution and awakening. So I guess they are me.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just, when I seen you, you did. You're every bit as extraordinary as your artwork. So thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your wisdom. And I'll definitely be contacting you. And have the Giza crystal spoke to you yet?
Well, I've actually got four of them on the table in front of me right now, and they
well,
are.
Well, they
just,
sure wanted to go home with you.
They are magnificent little beings.
I look forward to hearing them. I feel like you're going to have some great adventures with those Giza crystals.
And thank you so much for the gift of the crystals, and also for facilitating me being on this show today.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much once again, and I look forward to meeting you again.
And the same for me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. I'll be talking to you in a little bit. So, you know, I had, while you were speaking with Tammy, I was wondering if a person had a, like a piece of jewelry, these images in a third dimensional, like jewelry thing, that they would wear on them. I was thinking of people, because we have so many starseeds and people who are becoming really frustrated with whatever they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be their actual, their calling, and a lot of people are wanting to break away, and there's all kinds of, there's a lot of dark energy in corporate America, as I'm sure everyone knows. But do you think if someone had like a something that they could wear, that it would help with, you know, confrontational people or dealing with people who are carrying a lot of you know, darkness, you know, the that energy that is actually on the way out, but we still have to deal with it on a day-to-day basis for a lot of us. What would you think about coming out with a jewelry line or something, even if it was just like a button that someone could wear that has certain images for, you know, unconditional love and nurturing and those things? How would that work?
I think it is an absolutely beautiful idea, and that is on our list too.
You do have a long list, don't you?
We do have an incredibly long list. Crazy. We haven't yet worked out how it would be done to be best. And I haven't met the right people yet to enable that to happen. I'm sure it is going to happen.
I'm wondering how it would look on enamelware, you know, some beautiful enameled pieces.
Yeah.
Which converts nicely in from, you know, can make art on enamel be very beautiful.
It can
actually
be.
These would make gorgeous tiles. You're really getting
yeah.
us going here. We need to make your list longer tonight.
Tiles are on the
tiles
list.
Tiles to go
I
around.
Even sort I mean. Of imagine, just imagine a swimming pool that has healing the waters of the earth as a big, large mosaic pattern on the bottom of
wow.
the swimming pool.
Well, now that's. That would be gorgeous and
yeah.
really powerful.
So these ideas keep coming, and hopefully they're all going to get put into being.
Well, you probably feel like you don't have enough time in your day.
I do feel like that very frequently. Yes. And it's also a case of the people that I work with, I feel they have to be the right people. And so I'm sort of on the lookout all the time for meeting the right people to put the right pieces into place. And that's just happened recently. I've been looking for a long time for a musician who would be able to create music to go with the image keys, and have recently found someone who seems to be absolutely perfect, and he's actually taken three of the image keys and they've been taken to pieces, and he is creating moving image key meditations to original music, and on overlaid on that is myself playing crystal bowls. He's done two of them so far, and there'll be three on the first DVD, and they're pretty phenomenal. And so that's
well, let us
very
know when
exciting.
That gets done. That just sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And someone, I showed the second one for the first time on Saturday to a group of 20 people, and they were pretty amazed. And one of the ladies says that it for her it was an incredible experience because he had put on the screen what she sees when she meditates on the images. And so it was quite amazing for her.
What about screensavers for your computer?
Yeah, that is not on the list. Yeah.
That would be really easy to do, too, because you already have the graphics.
Right.
Just to have them for computer screensavers. That's a wonderful idea, and it could change from day to day depending on what you feel you need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the list is endless, Barbara, isn't it?
I know.
It's because there's such a need, and there's so many different ways to work it in there. But you are going to continue to expand, and these images will be part of the new world.
Yeah. That's
well, that'll be wonderful.
It will be wonderful. And I feel as if that's their intention, because it's like they have a consciousness. And, yeah.
How do you think they relate to crop circles?
Well, that is very interesting, because as I started to create these, once I'd got my foundation in sacred geometry, which actually came through Drumble O. Melchizedek's two volumes of The Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life. And then when I'd done that and I started to be guided to do these images, I put his books away and really chose not to look at other people who were working with sacred geometry, and chose not to look at the crop circles, because I wanted the information I received to be pure as it possibly could be. And so I hadn't looked at crop circles until I was asked to go and speak at a crop circle conference. It was called Earth Spirit Conference in Vermont, and it was April 2010. The first unity symbol that I had drawn, which is in many of the images, I had drawn in 2003. So this is 7 years later that I went to the Crop Circle Conference. And there were many of the top Crop Circle people from the UK were at the conference. And Steve Alexander, who takes many of the crop circle photographs, he goes up in a helicopter to photograph every new circle on the day that it's created, all through the season. And he and his wife were looking at my art, and they looked at the unity symbol, and they said, that appeared in a crop circle at Bishop's Canning last year, which was 2009. So 6 years after I had painted it for the first time, the unity symbol was a crop circle. And they said it was the first time that had been a crop circle in the UK. So there is a huge connection, I feel.
Oh, well, it's kind of goes hand in hand with the beautiful geometry, and there is energy that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a relationship there, and certainly. Well, I don't know about certainly, but I would not be surprised if many highly advanced beings, such as Metatron, was also involved in the crop circle thing. It has to be interconnected.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity this summer to visit some crop circles in the UK. And it was a pretty amazing experience. And I just felt so happy to be there, so joyful. It was like a totally innocent joy of a little child is how I felt.
Wow. And so you actually got to stand in the crop circles and experience the energies there?
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We were there in May, and it was a little early because the normal crop that they imprint was not up yet, but the canola, I think they call it rapeseed.
Yep.
The yellow fields.
Yes.
There was a crop circle early May in one of those. It was very rare to have one in those kind of fields, but we got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not far from Stonehenge, as a matter of fact, in that area.
Right.
So, we weren't there long enough. I didn't get to go actually, you know, stand in it, but I would love to have done that.
Yeah, that's so, pretty amazing.
So when you went and you went specifically to investigate crop circles?
We were on a long vacation. We still have family in the UK, so it was basically a family vacation that we took several days out to go and explore the crop circles. And I had some very dear friends who lead crop circle tours. And so we met up with them in a crop circle. And I felt incredibly fortunate that my first visit to a crop circle was with guides who had been guiding tours for a very long time into them. So
excellent. Did you have a chance to meet Colin Andrews?
No.
Okay. Yeah, he's been on our show. That's why I asked him. One of the leading authorities on crop circles. Really nice person.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's British.
No,
so,
we have
a few minutes before the end of the show, and there's a couple more requests that musical requests. So, Barbara, is there something that you would like to say in conclusion?
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed being on the show, and I'd like to thank you very much for inviting me on, and I will be delighted if this work is able to assist your listeners with their life journey and life mission, and it's very nice to be connected to you all.
Well, you're part of the family now, and again, thanks to Tammy for hooking us up and introducing you to us. And once again, Barbara's website is, tell me, Crystal, I want to get it right, Crystal Wings Healing Art.
Yeah, .com. Crystal Wings Healing Art .com.
.com. So everyone, please do go there. And if you're listening in the archives later on in the week or over the next few weeks, please, is the 10% discount, is there a time limit on that for putting in the word radio in the promotional code area?
We have not put a time limit on that at this point, so it will be there for some considerable time.
Okay. I'd like to encourage everyone to do that, and don't wait too long because you never know how long it will be working. So thank you so much, Barbara, for joining us, and you're welcome to stay with us on the line and just have a few little Christmas things that we need to do because we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. And the first thing that I want to say is that a few weeks ago, I was talking to Tammy, and she was telling me how much she loves the Charlie Brown Christmas. And I just happened to know the theme song, so I recorded it for everyone, but especially for Tammy. So good grief, it's Charlie Brown's Christmas. There you go, Tammy. I was picturing all the starseeds doing the Charlie Brown Snoopy dance. So I'm just going to do one more, my very favorite all-time Christmas song, as our wishing you a Merry Christmas and remembering the reason for the season. And we will be back right after this song with our Christmas wishes. So this is my favorite, I think, Christmas song of all time. Love that song. And I'm going to open up everyone's microphone and from all of us here at Starseed Hotline and Barbara Evans, our special guest this evening. We want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. We have Fiona and Chris and Tammy, Anastasia, Lavendar, Barbara and myself. And on the count of three, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and wonderful 2013. Everyone all together. One, two, three.
Merry Christmas.
Have a wonderful holiday, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back on January the 8th next year. Oh, my goodness. And remember to check out Barbara's website. And we will talk to you next time around.
Good night,
joyous,
everybody.
Wonderful holidays. Good night, everyone.
You've have been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.